Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 25, Council Candidate Forum, Jim Byler, Cedar Highlands.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. I am Jenny Hendricks, here with
Jesse Harris.
And we are continuing our series of interviewing municipal candidates in this very busy campaign season that we are in, which is always very exciting for people like us.
Oh, yeah. Get the nerd out a little.
We've got a really special treat for you today. We've actually got a candidate from Cedar Highlands. We've got Jim Byler here with us, and he is a candidate currently for the city council. But there's been a kind of a shakeup, and I'm sure you're going to tell us a lot more about that. And so there's been an opening for the position of mayor, which is going to be an appointed position. So Jim has also put in for that. So there's a lot going on in that little town of Cedar Highlands.
There sure is. Yep.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Jim, tell us just a little bit about yourself to start out with.
Yeah, I'm a retired police lieutenant from California. I spent my career in Carlsbad, California, kind of about 30 miles north of San Diego. Mm-hmm. I have a good sense of how municipal government is supposed to work because I was involved in it, during my career.
Sure.
And, I've managed budgets and all that type of stuff. So I think bringing that experience in some of the community service that I'm involved here in Cedar City as a member of the Rotary Club and those types of public service events, that I can bring that expertise to Cedar Highlands and help us kind of get back on the right track that I think we need to be on.
Good. Okay.
Excellent. So I always say you have to be at least a little bit crazy to run for office. What made you decide to do it?
I really am committed to getting that ship uprighted. And Cedar Highlands is a unique community.
Yes.
It's a beautiful community. I mean, it's spectacular, but it has its issues. And obviously, the main issue that the people are concerned about is the road, in and out and the access.
Yeah.
But when it became incorporated as a town, I think there were a lot of promises made that have not been kept. And it created a lot of discontent in the community.
Sure.
And as you know, the mayor resigned. I think the other four council members and him ultimately could not come together and be on the same page. Mm-hmm. The town finances, until very, very recently, to be honest with you, have been pretty much an incoherent mess.
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
And there's just no excuse for that in any municipal government. But in a small town where everybody kind of knows everybody and it's a relatively small budget, everything should be transparent and open so that the entire community knows exactly where we stand financially, what our money is being spent on. And that just hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of my primary motivations, is to get that squared away and make sure that we are financially ethical, honest, and transparent.
Well, certainly a worthy goal.
Well, it is. And, this is not just me saying it. Yeah. There were a number of citizens that were very concerned about the way things were happening, and they filed a complaint with the Utah State Auditor's Office.
Okay.
And they came in and did their... I won't call it an investigation. Let's just say a detailed overview of the town's financial practices. Uh-huh. And they issued a pretty scathing report this past April.
Okay.
And that report validated what myself and a lot of other community members were saying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just unacceptable.
Sure.
It's just not a way to run the finances of a small town. And now I know that four other council members feel that way, and whether I get elected to the council or appointed mayor, we're going to change that, and we're going to fix it, and we're going to give the town a chance to operate in an open and transparent manner.
That's great. That's really great. Well, one of the questions that we're asking all of the candidates who come on is, in your opinion, what do you think that your town is doing well? What are some things that you could point to as maybe accomplishments?
Well, it's a small community, and I think we've been divided in a lot of ways, and that's unacceptable for a small community. There's so many talented people up there, and we've had a situation where maybe the town leadership has been against the HOA, the homeowners up there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've created an environment where the full-time residents have been pitted against the part-time residents pitted against the lot owners.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because we all have, you know, sort of different ideas about how we can finance or improve the road. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you have that those divisions. And I think one of the things that this dissension in the town has caused, it's brought a lot of people together.
Okay.
We're more united now, I think, in understanding that maybe some of the promises that were made about incorporation aren't going to happen unless somebody comes up with a whole lot of money, which is at this point, you know, unlikely.
Yeah. You'll land that rumored Costco, right?
Well, you know, there again.
We'll all be traveling up that road to go to Costco.
Yeah. Well, it's a small community that has limited financial resources.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to prioritize, you know, how a town is going to operate, you have to first have to start with, you know, the public safety aspect.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, that was neglected. It took us over a year to get a fire contract with Cedar City, which is a good thing. The former mayor did not and argued vehemently against having a law enforcement contract with the sheriff's department.
Really?
And that was it was very interesting.
Wow.
And it created a lot of discontent within the community because we felt that we deserved the same law enforcement we had before incorporation.
Right.
Not to be self-insured or be fined if you call the police. So the council, I think with my help going to the county commissioners meeting, we are in the process of finalizing a legitimate contract with Iron County Sheriff. So we'll have the normal law enforcement services that a community should have.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
So we've established those things. And then the other priority, and really the only priority that we have to deal with, is the road maintenance issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once we focus on those three things, I think the community is going to come together and coalesce behind, you know, what we reasonably can do financially to improve the road.
Good.
It's not going to be easy because you have people that are all over the spectrum. There are people who say, I don't care, I want an improved road and I'll pay whatever it costs. Mm-hmm. And you have other people that say, you know, I moved up here knowing it was a dirt road and I'm fine with that.
So
how do we bring people together? And ultimately, it's not about me having my vision and forcing it on people. It's about the community coming together as best they can to come up with what we realistically can do to improve the road and maintain the quality of life up there. And the quality of life up there, I mean, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful place to live.
It is. Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I know, it is spectacular.
It is.
I've driven through in the fall and the colors are just astounding.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to see. I mean, people come up there, you know, and they set up their tripods and they take the pictures of the meadow, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
It really is.
And we don't need this hate and discontent.
Sure.
We don't need the division. It's a community that doesn't have to operate that way.
Right.
And whether I'm on the council or I'm on the mayor, we're going to do everything we can to give people accurate information so they can, as a community, make the best decisions about how we proceed going forward.
Well, I think that's a worthy goal regardless of the community. I think that should be something that every community demands and expects.
And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people that just didn't feel that that was happening.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to change.
Yeah.
And I think once we do that, I know things are going to settle down. The council, to their credit, they really took control of the budget the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they implemented the budget that they wanted to implement. And I think that was sort of the catalyst for the mayor realizing he was going to be on the short end of a lot of 4-to-1 votes from that point on. But, you know, we have limited resources.
Sure.
And we can't spend it on high administrative costs of the town.
Yeah.
We just don't have the money to do that.
Right.
And that's part of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the council put a stop to that. And I'm going to do everything I can to work with the council and make sure that we continue on that path. And we take our limited resources to go towards police, fire, fire safety, and improving the road.
That's great. Yeah. That's great.
So you've mentioned a lot of things you think the city can improve, you know, working on transparency, getting public safety in order, the roads. Are there any other things you see as shortcomings that the city can really improve upon?
Well, I think you know, the town and the HOA have been almost two separate entities.
Sure. Mm.
And, you know, I'm the treasurer of the HOA okay. right now. And, of course, if I get elected or appointed, I'll resign that position. But how can you have two groups that have been at odds? And primarily it's because of the leadership of the town that happened. Yet they're the same people.
Right.
Yeah. The HOA and the town are the same people.
I don't think there's a single town in Utah where the entirety of the town is also an HOA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there should be absolutely no division.
Yeah.
And one of the issues that caused that was that the mayor wanted to dissolve the HOA.
Oh.
And so if you're actively working to dissolve the HOA, that's the only voice that a lot of people have
sure.
in the say of the community. Mm-hmm. So that created a big divide. And that's coming together now.
Good.
I mean, you can have the two entities, the town government and the HOA, working together on the mutual goals.
Sure.
You're going to have
yeah.
much more ability to improve the road, to
yeah.
do fire safe projects, all those types of things. So there's no need to have that division anymore in the community. And I think mm-hmm. that pretty much came to an end when the mayor resigned. And I know the council wants to work with the HOA.
Good.
We're already working on a mutually beneficial contract between the town and the HOA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To do the snow removal in
okay.
the winter and to uh-huh. do some of the road maintenance on some of the roads that the HOA owns. So it's already mutually beneficial. And for the first time in, I would say, a year and a half, we had council members sit down with HOA board members and work together to come up with the contract. And those are the types of things that I foresee us doing in the future. And that's going to be a really benefit to the community.
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
Sounds like it's putting you on a path of where the HOA can do the things it's best at while the city does the things it's best at.
Well, I think that's ultimately the goal. It's a weird situation because the HOA owns a lot of the roads
yeah. mm-hmm.
up there. And so we have to have a partnership to make sure that we can do what we can as a town and the HOA can kind of fill in and do what they do. But it's got to be a partnership. And
sure.
it is. That's what's happened, I think, in the last month. And that's the way we're going to continue to get things done up there.
That's
and like
it.
You said, it's funny because it's the same people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an interesting dynamic. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But I know with the talented people up there and the people that I've made friends with that we're going to, I think, do a whole lot better working together towards, you know, our common goals than having any of this animosity that I think is pretty much going away.
That's great. I love that spirit of optimism and, you know, kind of working together and rowing in the same direction to accomplish those same goals. That's, like
right.
you said, it's too small a community and it's all the same people just to
well, we do our fire safe. I don't know if you're aware, we've done some fire safe projects
mm-hmm.
where we have neighborhood cleanups and we work mm-hmm. with the forestry department and the fire department. And, you know, those are great events. They're sponsored by the town,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the community members and the HOA, show up and they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to take that spirit where we come together, we work hard, we do some stuff that's going to improve the safety of the community, have a big barbecue afterwards.
Yeah.
That's the type of spirit we want to bring to a lot of other issues in
that's
the town.
Great.
And I think, whether I get appointed mayor, whoever puts in for it, it's going to be a new day for Cedar Highlands.
That's great. Well, you've talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that are going on up there. Whether you are elected to city council or whether you are appointed mayor, what specific goals do you intend to accomplish once that has happened?
Well, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, we have three goals that the town has to be responsible for, which is maintaining police, fire safety. We want just the normal services we had before incorporation.
Yeah.
And those are the things that were promised to us at the time of incorporation.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we got off track, but yeah. we're back on track and we're going to keep those. And then the road issue, we're going to have to really reach out to the community and find out where people stand and what they want to do
yeah.
with improving the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all comes down to money.
Sure.
That's
yeah.
a small community, and me or the council, we can't sit there and say we're going to impose a $6 or $7 million price
yeah.
tag that you know, the small community has to pick the, right. pick that up and pay.
Yeah,
that's just not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the community realistically want to do? How do we come to an agreement about what money is going to be available mm-hmm. to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to live with the results.
Yeah.
There are some people that want a 30-foot paved road in there, and some people that want a dirt road and just better maintained.
Sure.
If we can come to an agreement as a community as to what we realistically can afford to do, and then I think we have to live with the results.
Yeah.
And accept that that's how a democracy works. The people mm-hmm. up there have to make the decision about what they can realistically spend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm absolutely committed in is just giving people honest and accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
There are costs associated with being a town,
sure.
and they can't be hidden.
Right.
When we incorporated, we cut off our lifeline to a lot of county services, and the town has to fill in that gap financially with the contracts with police and fire. Those costs can't be hidden from people.
Right.
They have to be put out there, and this is what a town is going to cost. And we talked a little bit, or you mentioned earlier, about the possibility of does the town even stay a town?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a decision that the people have to make.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a potential, a citizens initiative that could happen more towards the end of the year. There could be a vote whether we stay a town early next year. And the thing is, if I was appointed mayor or elected to the town council, it's a decision the people have to make.
Yeah.
But what they need is honest and accurate information
mm-hmm.
about what it really costs to
yes.
be a town. If we dissolve, what happens if we go back to the county? Yeah. And I'm kind of a bottom line guy.
Sure.
We have to look at how do we keep the most money into the community
mm-hmm.
To work on the priorities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sell one particular viewpoint to the community, and I'm certainly not going to hide information from the community
right.
that they need to know to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. I don't want to sound like I'm anti-town, because I've mm-hmm. always said, publicly stood up in council meetings and said, the town deserves a chance to operate honestly and ethically and transparently. Give the town a chance to do that, provide accurate information, and then it's a democracy and the people will decide if it's worthwhile keeping.
Yeah, you want a chance to put your best foot forward.
Sure. Well, we want to do that, and then it's up to the people to evaluate whether or not the town is viable, and if the town goes away, how do we continue with our funding of the road through yeah. the HOA? Because the HOA would then become sort of the governing body mm-hmm. of the whole thing. And we'd have mm-hmm. to develop, I think, a more positive relationship with Iron County officials
yeah.
because they would then take over the maintenance of the road up there. And how do we get them to contribute more
right.
to that process? But, I can't emphasize this enough, and I don't want to dwell totally on the past. But our town has not operated in the way it should have operated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I'm going to change. There are too many smart people up there,
sure.
and they need to be totally understanding what the issues are, what the financial costs are with being a town, and they need to be told honestly what lay it out.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the way it's going to be run. Whether I'm on the council or whether I get appointed mayor, I think that's what the council is committed to now.
Yes.
It took us a while to get to this point,
uh-huh.
but that's where their mindset is.
Good.
And that's what we're going to do. There's no agenda that I have other than to do what we can to make life a little bit better for the people that live up there.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about some mythical future development that may or may not happen. I don't care about, 100 other residents that might move in there down the road. We have people that have needs, and they want the town to provide services today.
Sure.
And that's what we're going to focus on.
Good. That's great. That's very encouraging to hear.
Thank you.
So let's say you are on that drive down the dirt road with somebody, and you have a chance to give them your pitch for why you. What would you tell them?
For being the mayor or being a council or just being
either way.
Either one.
Either way.
You know, I think like I said, I spent my career in municipal government. Yeah. I know what honest and ethical government is supposed to look like. Yeah. I know how you protect and be a good steward of other people's money.
Yes.
You know, you're spending other people's hard-earned money.
Yep.
And they have a right to know that it's being spent on things that they care about, that's a priority for the community, mm-hmm. that it's being done transparently. There's no entering into contracts or incurring bills that nobody knows about that yeah. pop up months later. That's just not ethically how you run a town. Right. Yeah. So first and foremost, I would tell them that I am going to be a good steward of their hard-earned money. They're going to know where every dime is spent. It's all going to be out in the open at every council meeting. Every bill is going to be presented and approved mm-hmm. publicly, and they can have input. One of the things that I think has led to a lot of frustration is the way our town council meetings have been run. Mm. If you want to have input to the town council, you're basically were allotted 3 minutes a month.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
All right?
Yeah.
3 minutes a month, you were allowed to address the town council. And then the buzzer, the basketball buzzer would go off.
No kidding.
And you could be gaveled into silence at that point.
Wow.
In a small community.
And again, in a small community like
unacceptable. That. Unacceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I submitted my application to the town council for the mayor, I did a little cover letter. And one of the things that I put in there that I again, absolutely committed to, whether you agree with me or disagree, whether you agree with the town council or not, nobody should leave a town council meeting frustrated
yeah.
that they didn't have a chance to speak their mind, that they were not only were heard, but they were actually listened to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have all the answers. I'm certainly not I was a cop. I'm not a road building expert. But we have people in the community that have that type of experience.
Oh, fabulous.
We need to draw on those people. We need to listen to our community. And we have no business being some overly officious town council that gavels people and your 3 minutes are up and that and all that is going away.
Yeah.
We're going to sit there and we're going to listen to our people and they're going to have input. And if we disagree, we're going to do it respectfully.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to, you know, ultimately the town council has to make some tough decisions
yeah.
and they'll move forward and do that. But I would tell the community members up there, and I think they know this, that their voices are going to be heard and they're going to have input into how the town is run.
That's great. And again, I'll just say it again. I think that is a great input, great advice for any candidate running for any position in any size town. I think that, you know, mm-hmm. the focus on transparency and ethics and you know, being part of the community and bringing the community in to have those conversations is a really,
right.
really great approach.
It has to be that way. And, you know, we're not Cedar City where, you know, we have 30,000 residents or
sure.
whatever. Our meetings are basically, relatively small, and I think they just need to be more informal.
Yeah.
And we have to conduct business, obviously. We have to get the business done. But no one is going to leave a meeting that I'm at without having the opportunity to say what they needed to say. They're
that's
not going to walk out frustrated that they weren't heard.
That's great.
And so that's one of the things that I think the council is also open to changes.
Good. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we're sure appreciative of your time.
Thank you.
And coming clear down the mountain.
Oh, that's okay. I come down here every day. And the town's working on the dirt road now. They've been doing
that's
a lot
great.
Of work. That'll continue throughout the summer. So hopefully by August, September, there'll be some nice improvements.
Super.
In the road. Yeah.
All right.
Excellent.
Well, when I'm showing up there, I'll make sure and take that front road up then.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks again, Jim.
Oh,
we appreciate
thank you.
You coming
My
in.
My pleasure.
This has been Color Country Politics, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.